Blog Talk Radio.
The shortest month of the year shouldn't limit the expansive contributions of black people throughout the United States and the Americas. We'll salute the sacrifices, dreams, hopes, and opportunities of African Americans from Phyllis Wheatley to Dr. Ralph David Abernathy to Reverend Carla Cooper, who represent the best of our race. Black history is American history, and today's show pays tribute to why it should matter to all people throughout the land. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. We're actually broadcasting this at a special time today. I have some important activities that sort of bumped into the time slot of the radio show. So instead of broadcasting from 1 p.m. until 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're broadcasting from 12:30 to 1. And I'm sure that some will listen on our archive section, and it's going to be just as good. So we thank you so much, whether you're listening live or whether you're going to be listening later on. Been a busy, busy month, and wherever you happen to be in the United States, somehow you've been impacted by the weather. It's just been a horrific winter for many of us. I live in the greater Boston area. I'm looking outside my window right now, and we are yet having another snowstorm. We have had record-setting amounts of snow here in the greater Boston area, well over 90 inches and climbing. And I'm sure that this will add to our record that just continues to climb. In the month of February, it's just been unprecedented. And also, it's affected the schools. Many of our school children have missed as many as 11 days of school because of the weather. They're going to have to make it up on the back end, and some of their school vacation weeks have been shortened because of the weather. All of us are concerned about the buildings that we're in. You never think about all this snow accumulating. Whether you have a pitched roof or a flat roof, particularly if you have a flat roof, the amount of snow on the roofs is now jeopardizing many roofs to be roofs to collapse, and they're very long icicles that are forming around our houses and buildings, as many as 10 feet long icicles, which look very pretty, but they're not very good for your homes because it clogs up the gutters and creates ice dams. So wherever you happen to be, especially if you're here in the New England, Greater Boston area, stay safe, be warm. And hopefully in the next 30 days, we can report better days ahead with spring coming. But this has been one doozy of a winter, certainly has. Last week, I had a chance to escape and go to India. It was a phenomenal trip, and I will, in the next couple of weeks, talk about the experience that we had there. This was my second time going to India. For most of the other travelers, there were 37 of us all together. Two of us had been to India prior to this trip, and the remaining ones had never been to India. And many of these women had been well-traveled, seasoned travelers, had been all over Europe and parts of Africa, et cetera, parts of other parts of Asia, but had never been to India. And the uniqueness and the relationship that can just spin all kinds of ways, even when you're looking at now the relationship between African Americans and Indians, is absolutely fascinating. So I will have lots to share with you. My love of that country continues to grow, especially this second time around. Big shout out to the Padinis, Reverend Abraham and Reverend Sarah Padini, who are our hosts when we go to the country. They are an extraordinary couple, very gracious, have done so much for the people of that country, and just love you much. So we'll tell you more about that in the weeks to come. And Reverend Carla Cooper, who I mentioned earlier today, who was really the connector and the reason why we now have 105 African-American churches, African Methodist Episcopal churches in India, has everything to do with Reverend Carla Cooper. I will be with her next week at Doane College in Lincoln, outside of Lincoln, Nebraska, She is an extraordinary person, and we salute her when it comes to Black History Month because of her tenacity, her forward-thinkingness, the relationship that she built with the Padinis way back in 2003 have led to this extraordinary relationship that now is going full speed ahead in the country, the subcontinent of India. So hats off to Carla Cooper. We'll talk to you more about her in 2 weeks. I'll be in the Lincoln, Nebraska area next week working with her, so we will not have a broadcast, but coming back we'll certainly talk about Reverend Carla Cooper, and probably we'll have some audio clips, and then she'll be with me with our rescheduled Black History Breakfast on March 17th. Because of the weather, we were supposed to have our breakfast on February 10th, and I was moving forward, and the 9th, things looked like it was going to work. And then our governor, Charlie Baker, came on the air and put a state of emergency in place, and our transportation system shut down, so it was not going to be running on the 10th. So my breakfast was rescheduled to Tuesday, March 17th. Reverend Carla Cooper will be a guest on the show will be a guest at my breakfast on that day, and it's just going to be a very exciting event. So there's still time for you to get tickets if you are interested in attending. You can go to www.mssconnect.com, mssconnect.com, learn more about the Black History Breakfast. I guess we're going to be Black Irish because March 17th is also St. Patrick's Day, celebrated across this region, and so we're just going to combine St. Patrick's Day and Black History Month into one very exciting celebration. So we'd love for you to come if you are going to be in the area, learn more about Black History Month, learn more about Reverend Carla Cooper and this big connection we now have between African Americans and Indians. It's quite fascinating. Well, Black History Month is relegated to February for a specific reason. Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who I'm going to talk to you about in just a few minutes, wanted to select a month not because of its duration. It is the shortest month of the year, but he selected that month for two main reasons. Number one, it represented the birth date of Frederick Douglass, one of the greatest abolitionists, ex-slave, orator, a friend of a president, President Lincoln, and just one of the greatest figures we have in American history today. His birthday was in February. And also Abraham Lincoln, who was, I think, the all-time greatest president because of what he faced, the turmoil that he faced, a war that raged throughout his entire presidency, but the greatness that he exhibited with liberating first the slaves of the Confederate states, of the states in rebellion that was part of the Emancipation Proclamation, and then with the 13th Amendment freeing all slaves. That is the actual chronological steps that were taken that first freed some of the slaves, and then with the 13th Amendment freed all of the slaves, and then all of the other things that he had to get through with stiff and heavy and ultimately fatal opposition that he successfully endured until the end of his life when he was assassinated in 1865. So because of his birthday and Frederick Douglass, and Frederick Douglass actually met with President Lincoln in the White House a couple of times, which was extraordinary in and of itself to have a free black man to be welcomed into the White House. It was kind of tough for him to actually physically get in that building because there were people who didn't want him there, but physically got in that building and then had a series of meetings which led to a lot of strategic steps that President Lincoln made in the course of his presidency. So those two men are the reasons why Black History Month is in the month of February. That's really the only reason why. Otherwise, it would have been in the longest month of the year, a month that has 31 days, but for that reason, Dr. Carter Woodson decided to put Black History Month in the month of February. It started off, first of all, as a week of celebrations and then expanded in 1976 into a whole month of celebrations. So I'm just going to read a little bit. This is actually on the back of my program booklet for the Black History Breakfast that's going to be held on March 17th. But so often we don't know the history of why these kind of celebrations and months take place. But Dr. Woodson initiated the celebration, Negro History Week, which it was originally called Negro History Week. And it corresponded, as I just mentioned, with Frederick Douglass's birthday and Abraham Lincoln. And then in 1976, the celebration expanded to include the entire month of February. And today, Black History Month garners support throughout the country as people of all ethnic and social backgrounds discuss the Black experience. And there is an actual organization that is still in existence that Dr. Woodson started many, many years ago, back in the 20s. And that organization is the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. And they have a website. They have periodic activities, probably a very small organization now, but extremely important because of the significance of Dr. Woodson. And you can go to HTTP colon hashtag ASALH dot net. I'll repeat that. HTTP colon hashtag ASALH dot net. That is the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. That is the official website of which we get our information for Black History Month. Now, you can also go to the Census Bureau, which would be census.gov, and they have corresponding information about Black History Month. It's still there. It's available all throughout the year, but they have a fact sheet that is rather detailed data related to the Black community and other pertinent information. So you can go to the census.gov website and find out more about Black History Month, either there or Dr. Carter G. Woodson's site. Well, who was this man? He was born in 1875. He's known as the father of Black History Month, and he was the son of a former slave and understood how important gaining a proper education is when striving to secure and make the most out of one's right for freedom. Now, the one thing that I know throughout the world, now having traveled 9,000 miles away to India, is the importance of education. When you look at Black History Month and you look at all the great figures in Black history, back to Phyllis Wheatley, who was a slave and in the 1700s, yet wrote beautiful poetry and published her poetry and understood the importance of education. And you look systematically throughout the course of history, particularly with Black people, there is a correspondence with achievement, recognition, and upward mobility and education. They go hand in hand with the removing of the shackles and moving up the rank and file of leadership roles through education. That is no different than what I'm seeing in India, and really is the connector between the Indian people and African Americans and those who are in the lower spectrum of life, the untouchables, the Dalits in India, because the caste system is alive and well, and many of those people are the ones that we are connected to in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Well, what is my missionary society sponsoring right now as we sell beautiful Indian scarves and bags and ship that money over to India? The educational center that we are supporting. And now it's been renamed the Bethel AME Church Educational Center in a small village called Thirumanu in the state of Tamil Nadu in India. It's about maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours drive way in the country in a remote area because these people are considered untouchable, so they have been removed from society. But we have an educational center there. So, again, the connecting point in this new endeavor is education. Very, very similar to why Dr. Carter G. Woodson and his people, his family members, his father, recognized that education was the mobility link. It was the way for you to move up in society And it certainly has been that in every aspect of black culture throughout decades, throughout the many decades that we have certainly been here in the Americas. So back to Dr. Woodson. He said, although that he did not begin his formal education until he was 20 years old, his dedication to study enabled him to earn a high school diploma in West Virginia and a bachelor and master's degree from the University of Chicago, one of the best schools we have here in the country, in just a few years. Well, that was not enough for him when it comes to education. In 1912, Woodson became the second African-American to earn a Ph.D. at Harvard University. I'm actually going to an African conference tomorrow that's going to be at Harvard University. So he recognized how important education was in terms of the mobility that he needed to move up, and found a way, I'm sure found scholarships that provided him with the opportunity to go on to some of the finest schools in the United States. What an inspiration for someone who did not start a formal education process until he was 20 years old. He was an adult. It's never too late to begin. And he is a classic example of why it's never too late to begin to start your life all over again, wherever you happen to be, whatever you happen to do in life. Dr. Woodson is really an example of that. He recognized the dearth of information on the accomplishments of blacks, and this was back in the 1800s and the early 1900s. So in 1915, Dr. Woodson founded this organization I just talked about, the Association for the Study of Life, Negro Life, and History, and it's now called the Association for the Study of African-American Life and History. And under Dr. Woodson, under his pioneering leadership, the association created research and publication outlets for black scholars with the establishment of the Journal of Negro History in 1916 and the Negro History Bulletin in 1937, which garners a popular public appeal. So something that was started literally 100 years ago, because we're now in 2015, so 100 years ago, this organization still is in existence, and it's because this man realized that someone needed to be chronicling the accomplishments, the achievements of black people. Why not a black man do that for his own people? That's the exciting, celebratory fact of Black History Month. So that's the history of how things started. So throughout the years, information had been documented, not just with Dr. Carter's organization, but with many organizations, so that today we have transformed this week of activities, Negro History Week, into Black History Month. Now, surely, here in the greater Boston area and elsewhere, many of these celebrations, and again, it's still snowing like crazy out here, but many of these celebrations are going to be shifted into March and April because the weather has just really knocked out a lot of plans that people have had in terms of celebrating Black History Month. But that I think is a good thing, that we'll now look at these celebrations more long-term. It will not be compacted into February, and we'll have an opportunity to really celebrate the achievements and the recognition of many, many black people. And the one thing that really gets me when I think about a Phyllis Wheatley, great poet back in the 1700s, I'm looking at a time frame, whether you're talking about that or during around the time of the mid-1800s with Frederick Douglass, who started off in slavery and then escaped and became a free man but a spokesperson for so many. Harriet Tubman going back and forth and back and forth, freeing the slaves. She carried a pistol. She threatened to use the pistol on anybody who even thought of going back into slavery. There was only one way out for Harriet Tubman. She was also a slave. She left slavery. She had been beaten, but she had a vision in terms of how she needed to get her people away from bondage. And she used her skills and her face and her stalwart belief that what she was doing was right, and she actually freed about 300 slaves. Now, there were safe houses along the way that she used, and many used, with this concept called the Underground Railroad, where there were people, mostly whites, who were sympathetic to the abolition of slavery, and their homes were used to free slaves. So people like Harriet Tubman used these homes, typically traveling late at night, early in the morning, so that the patrollers, the bounty hunters, those individuals, the police officers, would elude their capture. And this one woman was able to use that system, a convoluted, amazing system, to actually get 300-plus people away from harm's way and free. And, again, she literally threatened people that if they even thought about, oh, this is too dangerous, we're going to turn back and go back to our plantations, they would have been killed. And so they got the message, and they followed her lead, and she never was caught and never lost a slave. That's why we bring her up so much in history, along with people like Sojourner Truth and Frederick Douglass. The amazing things that were done in the days of slavery were just astounding, really astounding. You can always watch movies like 12 Years a Slave with Solomon Northup, a horrendous story about a free man captured, taken into slavery, and then 12 years never giving up, finally letters getting to the right proper authorities. They came down to Louisiana, found him, and freed him. Free story. Great tribute to him was played in that movie that won the Best Picture Award last year with the Oscars. So the stories are horrendous. The stories are amazing. And when you think about these stories, it should give you hope and encouragement in terms of what people have been through, but still the achievements and the accomplishments that were made were absolutely extraordinary. When you think about Elijah McCoy, who was a draftsman, a mechanical genius, who created a device that worked with the railroad system, and that mechanical device now has been tagged with the real McCoy. You hear about that terminology, the real McCoy. Well, that deals with his device that was used on railroads, that the mechanism was used with railroads, which actually helped railroad systems to become more efficient. A black man did that. The whole evolution of blood plasma and its use in modern science dealt with Dr. Charles Drew, who sadly couldn't even save his own life because of racism in the South and a hospital that would not treat him. He died prematurely, but gave so much to the world. You think about Henrietta Lacks, that poor black woman in Baltimore, Maryland, whose cancerous blood cells were taken without her knowledge before she died, when she was a very young woman in her early 30s, in the early 1950s. And her cancerous cells that were used for research throughout the world and still being used to this day to help in the eradication of polio and so many other diseases, we owe that to a black woman. So don't tell me that black history is confined to black people alone. That is not true. Black history has helped so many people around the world. When you look at the civil rights movement, you're talking about not just Dr. Martin Luther King, but you're talking about Reverend Ralph David Abernathy, his closest associate and companion throughout the civil rights movement, also a Baptist preacher. They were both Baptist preachers together. Dr. Abernathy was a little bit older than Dr. King, but they were companions, and Dr. Abernathy was a brilliant writer, brilliant. So the kind of people that Dr. King surrounded himself with added to his greatness. Juanita Abernathy to this day is one of my closest and dearest friends. I honor her. I appreciate her because of what she, her husband, and her four children had to endure during that awful time of segregation and the breakthroughs that they endured so that we could sit wherever we happened to sit without fear of repercussion in terms of where we dine, where we have our homes, where we work, who we date, who we marry. All of that is because of the sacrifices and the contributions of black people with the civil rights movement, and that is black history. And so you fast forward and you see all the accomplishments today, the people who are in the entertainment field. You look at movies like Selma that are now being made. You look at people who are in engineering, in technology, those who are heading companies, those who are working in international fields of interest, those who are teachers, those who are working in our faith-based organizations. We are looking at a history of a people, of black people, who have so much to give, who have given so much, and who have so much more to give. Black history is not just black history. It is history that should be celebrated for all people, not just in the United States, but also from a global perspective. I'll quickly go back and look at Dr. Howard Thurman. And Arle Prelew is working on an amazing documentary that chronicles his life. He was one of the teachers at Morehouse College during the time when Dr. King was a student there. And he was also one of the early adopters of nonviolence. He actually was one of the ones who brought over the concept of nonviolence to the United States from India. Because when he was there between 1935 and 1936 on a peace mission, finding out all the cultural dynamics of that great country during that time, he had the privilege of meeting with Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, who was a rising Hindu leader of nonviolence, trying to free his people from the confines of Britain. And so they met, and Dr. Thurman, amongst other things, brought that. He was one of the ones, not the only one, there were others, but he was one of the ones who brought that concept back to the United States and went on to become dean at Boston University, taught at Morehouse College, was a part of a faith-based organization and pastored in San Francisco. Just an amazing person. And he is also one of the ones we celebrate when it comes to Black History Month. Early adopter, again, early relationships between India and him, and what we now see in terms of a growing relationship with that great subcontinent. But we celebrate Dr. Howard Thurman, his wonderful wife, and all the accomplishments that he brought forth. So again, a half-hour show can only pay tribute to great people. But we thank Dr. Carter G. Woodson for his vision and realizing that someone needed to begin the celebratory process where Negro History Week transformed into Black History Month, but a way where we could document the achievements of a people who helped to build this country from the very beginning of its existence and continue to contribute in such amazing ways throughout the country, whether you're talking about cities, towns, villages, counties, or states. When it comes to black people, you're talking about an amazing people of talent, of wisdom, of achievement, of tenacity, of great faith, of vision, recognizing that education is so important for the upliftment of our people, and ways that we ultimately connect with other people. People of African descent, people who have never forgotten their African roots, but people who are marching forward for victory so that all of us can ultimately achieve greater victory in our lives. Black folks rock. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Have a great week or weekend. We'll be back in 2 weeks talking about another important topic. Happy Black History Month to each and every one of you. Take care. We'll see you soon.